After this presentation, Dr. Friedland addressed the issue of the database on which the study was performed and how representative it might be of the greater population.
Dr. Walsh followed his patients much more closely than some of the other surgeons in terms of having PSA data available. You need enough PSA values to calculate a doubling time. So there were some logistical issues in that. So we looked at who the patients were, their time to recurrence, and then their overall survival. Because we did have survival data on the other 60% of patients, and there were no statistically significant differences in time to recurrence in guys with doubling time data and guys without, and overall and cause-specific survival. So essentially, they looked representative, by and large, of the whole cohort. But agreed, I mean, it's a select group of those that have recurrence, and obviously it's a select group of patients at Hopkins. And so the question is, do these results apply to men outside Hopkins? Well, the doubling time less than 3 months, that curve overlaps with the CPDR capture data set. So I think at least that group probably does. One thing is these are young, healthy men. Median age at the time of surgery is 59 with a low comorbidities. So I think if you're treating, and a lot of us, as Craig said, I mean, median age at surgery now for a lot of patients is in their 50s. So if you're treating 50-year-old men with radical prostatectomy or healthy, I think that this data is extremely applicable. If you're looking at radiation patients or men who are older in their 70s who have delayed recurrences, they're now 75, they're going to have much higher competing morbidity. This data may not apply as much.
Craig?
I think the problem is using your stratification to try to dictate who needs treated. I would say anybody that recurs less than 3 years is in trouble. You know, I don't really look at the doubling time. I know that the guy's probably going to have a difficult course, and I'm looking to pull the gun early. Would you think that's a fair statement?
I don't think that's a fair statement, in that clearly that is one of the high-risk features. And among men who recur early, they are much more likely to have short doubling times. If they have a short doubling time on top of it, clearly that's a high-risk patient, I agree. But there are still a fair number of men who recur early with long doubling times. And those are patients, again, getting back to depending on their age, their comorbidity, those patients I think are at low risk of going on and developing problems. I mean, it's interesting if you talk about a concordance index C, which is basically if you take two patients and you try and guess which patient is going to die before the other patient. And you say, let's look at doubling time. And ask the question, how good is doubling time at predicting whether patient A will die before patient B, knowing not any other information about the patient? Just knowing the doubling time, we were accurate in predicting that 81% of the time, knowing the doubling time alone. When you added time to recurrence, when you add the Gleason score, it improved to 84% accurate. So it's better, but really doubling time was the driving thing. So early recurrence makes me worried, but not all early recurrences created equal, at least in our study.